Atheist Nomads, episode 218. Take a knee if you'd like.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to that episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me is Lauren.
Hello. And Rocco again.
And we have Mikey.
Hey, gang, how's it going?
Sounds like a Saturday morning cartoon announcer.
Hoy!
Oh, man. And, of course, Mikey is always fun for finding out who he's been sparring with lately.
Nazis. It's all right. Nazis now. I've gone. This is like the final boss of internet fights. There isn't anybody. I mean, because flat earth conversation is boring. Anti-vaxxers, whatever. But Nazis, that's the real thing. Because that's like legit stuff.
Yeah, and they burrow in like a tick.
They're just worms. I mean, in reality, fighting with Nazis on Facebook is literally just dealing with a bunch of people's third and fourth fake accounts, and they're always just trying to troll you. They always try to cut into your masculinity, even though I'm openly bisexual, by trying to imply that I'm gay. And it's just like, I'm wearing a woman's shirt right now.
Uh-huh.
You have
sparklier fingernails than any woman I have seen.
Yeah, I did these nails myself.
Time.
Yeah. They match my shirt, by the way. So, you know, there's
he
that.
Knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, man. Practice. And Mikey with his kitten.
Oh, aww. Liana. Liana the kitten. She's so cute. She's so sweet. Actually, if you look up Liana the kitten on Instagram as a hashtag, you can go straight to her photos. Yeah, I'm going to start an Instagram page for her, I think, because
she's pretty precious.
She is a flame-tipped Siamese kitten.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like something. I think there's a magic card that does some damage.
Flame tipped
kitten.
She's basically white, and then she has orange around her nose, ears, and her tail.
It's adorable. And blue eyes.
No, bright blue eyes. I'm actually posting a photo to Instagram right now under my Instagram.
Post it to the Atheist page after our
I will. That'd be fun. I will do it. Yeah, so that's fun. So yeah, it's all about Nazis and kittens now. That's 2017 for me. That's what we've come to.
Nice.
Just Nazis.
Well, it's like the internet's gone good. Almost full circle.
Yeah. Well, kittens are always going to be there. Like cats will be around long after humanity is gone.
Eating the cockroaches.
Well, no, they're gonna eat the corpses of the last few humans.
It only takes one generation for cats to go feral. So
if even that.
Yeah, and they already
hunt. A couple weeks.
Yeah, it doesn't take long. Yeah, it's like the next set of kittens is ready for the wild. Mm-hmm. We're only temporary to cats.
Yeah.
Which is why I find cats terrifying and annoying. And typically.
Oh, I don't blame you. Not everyone is into every pet. Nor should you be.
All right.
But I like cats. The cats, the kitten chases one of the chihuahuas and wrestles the other one.
Adorable.
Okay, chases Gracie and wrestles Wilfred.
Okay, so when I brought Liana home, she was very young, and the first thing Gracie did was come up and lick her, and then there was a lot of nerves where we worked the dogs into it. By day three, Gracie and Liana, and Gracie being one of our chihuahuas, the rescue, they actually are like siblings now. They play roughhouse, like cats and dogs, so it isn't always perfectly friendly. Liana will attack her in the night when she's trying to sleep and bite at her face. But Wilfred is very nervous, and he's our little angry potato. So she'll ambush him, and then he'll run around the house. But like a horror monster, she can always catch up. So he's got dog speed, and he'll run into the apartment. But he has no vertical because he's a potato. He's no legs. So she'll just climb up wherever he's at and then jump on him again, and he'll get nervous. So about a week ago, he finally started playing back, which has helped. So they play chase a little bit, but he still gets nervous. She's learned to jump on top of him from on top objects.
Does sound like a good video game.
Yeah, because when you raise, I don't know if you know this, but if you raise a kitten, when they get to that phase where they're exploring their hunting instincts, if you react to their ambushes, it reinforces that instinct. So if you have a cat, you generally speaking, if you just learn to act like it's no big deal when they jump at you, then they just go after something else. But you can't teach a dog that. So yeah.
No, dogs are just gonna react every time and make some of the best things to pick on.
Yeah, no, they are really funny. They're so goofy. So yeah, that's mostly it. Kittens and Nazis. And it's fine. There was the Nazi thing actually goes back to, I was tagged in on Twitter, a local politician that I'm friends with, tagged me in a Twitter conversation where somebody in a, we have this North End fair that's kind of this hippie artistic thing called the Hyde Park Street Fair. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy that was actually handing out literature for one of these, they don't always call themselves Nazis, but a Nazi-like group that has Nazi beliefs, and it's all about white supremacy, and it's always about anti people of color and queers and all this other stuff. And the
what
Jews.
Was his racism is love?
Yeah, racism is love was actually the shitty paper.
Like, oh my God.
So I shared this on my Facebook, Mikey Pullman, and I think it's what I don't know. It hit like 600 comments and like 300 shares. And somewhere we hit this point where Nazis became aware and Nazi affiliated became aware mm-hmm. of it. So they'll just jump in now and be like, you guys are cowards, you libtards. And it's like, this is Idaho. Like, even the liberals are armed. What are you guys like doing?
Right. What are you...
So yeah, there was a guy that showed up not that long ago, actually threatening to fight somebody. And was like, you know, he's like, but I'm going to bring a gun just in case. I don't trust you anti-fascist types. I'm like, good. You shouldn't trust us. Like, we fucking think you're a Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Yeah, that's not necessarily an insult. Plus, we would figure that's what you would do anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was trying to fight people while carrying a gun. It was just gross. But of course, he ended up taking a picture at an intersection because some people didn't believe he was really in Boise. So, like, one of the actual anti-Nazi skinheads that is a friend of a friend went looking for that dude at that intersection.
Oh, boy.
And later sent me a photo with his, like, spiked knuckle thingies. And I'm like, and that was what I was basically telling this guy. It was like, dude, you need to watch it. Because, like, yeah, you can try to fight me, but the thing is I'm asthmatic and I'm not going to fight you. I'm a 40-year-old comic. I'm going to shit talk you on the internet and make fun of you and
all day long.
Call you garbage. And you can try to fight me in a park, but I'm never going to go there. And you can't call me anything that's going to make me feel bad about not meeting a Nazi to fight in a park. Like, we're not in junior high, but I will tell violent punks where you're at. And if they find you, that's on you. Like, you're the one wandering around looking for fights. And I'm sorry, but there's a lot of people that hate Nazis. And I don't care what happens to officially don't care what happens to Nazis.
I was amused by how many people were coming to his defense saying that. Well, not his defense, but was saying that if you punch a Nazi, you are as bad as one.
Yeah, those people
and that
are, yeah.
It's just, we're so sick of that talk now that...
It's just...
When you get bullied to a point where you're going to have to fight back. Every dad tells their son that, and every... I mean, that's just, unfortunately, the way it is against these aggressive types.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's always the problem with tolerance. You cannot tolerate intolerance in a tolerant society. It's the paradox of tolerance. Yeah. So you get to a point where we know what Nazis stand for. Like... There was a point when you could be a Nazi and not know what Nazis were doing. Like, but we all had the History Channel. We all know what Nazis are stand mm-hmm. for. And they
aliens.
Don't pretend it. Yeah. Like, it's very clearly what Nazis are into. So if you affiliate yourself with that, you are making a stand against people of color, of queers. In a lot of ways, these people are so regressive, like in how they believe and feel that women should be treated. Like, it's essentially the alt-right for a reason. Like, it's mm-hmm. just way off into the too far. And a lot of their speech and the things that they advocate for are just open violence and just removal of people. Like the tiki torches in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, these guys were actually chanting Nazi chants and went to a black church.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What do you...
Yeah, and the idea that... And it's not, listen, it's not just punch Nazis. It's making Nazis uncomfortable to be Nazis again. Like, yes, also punch Nazis because fuck Nazis. I mean, if you can't say fuck Nazis, get your shit together. Like, just, I mean, I understand, like, it's not comfortable for everybody. Like, we want people to be relatively nonviolent. But we had a whole war about this. Like, it was a big deal. Like, if you leave Nazis alone, they will mess up stuff.
And then we had the Civil Rights era after that.
Mm-hmm. And Jim Crow and all that other garbage. Like, yeah. No,
I am going to reiterate my own personal view that...
Please do.
Punch back. Never punch. Be the first to punch.
Because Nazis want to kill you and your family. So you don't just wait for them to start killing the black people that you know, or finding a trans woman and carving her up before you start punching them. They come here with that open. That's their actual game plan. And you can't just be like, well, I'm going to wait until you actually kill a trans woman for me to stop you. You actually have to go, well, we already know you're going to do that. You just told us it's the first strike. It's the first strike policy the United States has. If you tell me you're going to launch missiles at me, I get to shoot you first. We can do that in real life, ethically. If you know a Nazi is going to come and kill your gay cousin, well, fucking punch him. He's going to kill your gay cousin. Plus, you know, all the black people he can find.
Yeah, except for most of them are all talk and not.
But it does not matter. Like I said, you already know what the Nazis stand for. They're already affiliating. I'm not affiliating myself with go kill families, but they are. If I'm like kill grandmothers, you're allowed to punch me for saying kill grandmothers. Like, it's not, and just because it's black people and gay people and Jews, that doesn't make it less violent or reprehensible. You don't have to be comfortable with violence. Like, in your personal views on not punching first are fine, but you can't tell people not to do that because their lives are actually at stake here. It's not a hypothetical. It's an actual, they're real life Nazis now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, apparently they've always been here.
They're just not afraid anymore.
Right. And the funny thing is, if you actually go to like black Twitter or black Facebook, where black comics and outspoken people talk about this all the time, they'll be the first people to be like, dude, we've been telling you this shit for years.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, wake the fuck up. And I think like there's a lot of the conversation on like how to handle Nazis is being out. But there is an element of people that are willing to take a stand immediately. And we, those of us that do that, are now waiting for everyone else to get to the point. Because once the majority of the United States is like, punch Nazis, then Nazis will just go away again. Or, you know, go back under the covers where they belong. And then, yeah, I mean, we as a country need to have some really deep soul searching to figure out why those people are still here. And if there's any way to address, like, why? Because even if we chase all the Nazis out, well, they're not leaving. Like, it's not like we're going to go to their homes and round them up. That's not even anything anyone wants to do. Cause how, I mean, it's not like the Red Scare. Like, are we going to go like, well, are you a Nazi?
Well, maybe we should.
Well, I mean, the people want to out themselves as Nazis, but that's why they have these fake accounts. That's why they hide behind all this stuff, because they know in their heart of hearts that they're doing something wrong. Like all the,
Look at how many got their pictures taken at rallies, pictures shared, and they're fired on Monday.
Good. Yeah, like, that's perfect. I mean, do you want Nazis, like, some Nazis working for you? Like, of course you don't. You don't want to deal with that. And that's actually one of our best defense, because I don't think, like, just starting the conversation with punching is going to work for most of the time. Like, if you find somebody being Nazi-ish, then yeah, do what you got to do. But if a guy's just on a street, you can't just walk up and punch him. That doesn't really seem to work, even if you know he's a Nazi. Although, I mean, there is that gif running around where Spencer got himself elbowed in the face. But this guy, if you read the things he's actually written about black people and things in general, yeah, sure, fucking take him out. Like, these guys advocate for racial cleansing. And you don't get to advocate for racial cleansing and then expect to just walk around unpunched all the time. It's just not, I mean, and I get it. We're not comfortable with violence in this country, which, you know, I think is actually a positive trend for humanity. But there has to be, until we can work these things out of the system, I don't know what you're supposed to do. Let's obviously, the cops don't give a shit. If you pay attention to any time these things happen, in a lot of cities like Portland, which you would normally consider to be like a liberal stronghold, the Nazis actually have the police protect them on their way to and from a place, you know, and it doesn't even matter what these guys do. And there's even videos out there of cops watching. There's video of cops watching a dude point a gun at counter protesters and shoot at the feet. And the cops didn't do anything. Matter of fact, this guy didn't get into any. I got to find a link for this and I can show it for you.
That was in Portland.
Yeah, I think that was one of the Portland ones,
because discharging of firearms within city limits in the state of Oregon is a felony.
That's the point he's trying to make. Yeah. Only if you get arrested for it. Didn't do anything.
Right. Yeah. But if the cops are there watching that, well, and also making threats while armed in Oregon,
it's just
is
crazy.
Also a felony.
Well, it's weird. And that's what the whole take a knee thing is about, is that the racism is institutionalized. It is so ingrained in cop attitude and government attitude that, people are allowed to get away with shit that they would not be able to get away with if they were any other color.
It's weird. It's like the police officer that recently got pulled over, or that recently got fired, when he pulled a woman over and told her, you don't have to worry, we only shoot black people. Now, he got fired for saying that, but there are people who shoot black people who don't get fired for that.
Yeah.
And like, so people who really struggle with understanding this, I think the correct line is, pretend for a moment you're not white. Like, imagine you're the person that gets shot. Like, it's such a different experience when you listen to people who have to tell you what it's like to explain to their children, hey, mm-hmm. just so you know, the cops might murder you if you don't do what they want, and they might if you do.
Well, it's like when, unfortunately, I have some friends on Facebook who will bring up certain statistics, like more white people get killed by the cops than black people.
Yeah, but there's also a greater percentage of white people.
There's
and they're lying with their
times
statistics.
As many white people as black people.
Yeah.
And almost every single white person that gets killed by the cops is armed and is actively threatening people. Most black people that get killed by the cops are walking home from a store.
Yeah. It's always something like that. And they'll always find the one time where a guy was really aggressive to police and got his ass shot. And you'll be like, well, see, but like, yeah, but look at all, like, you can go to lit. There are so many lists that have been curated now of all the unarmed black people mm-hmm. who have been killed and essentially murdered by police officers. And this conversation is just difficult. It's the way CAPE got involved in the first place. It's just like when you have a soapbox, if you actually have an audience, it's easy for you to start to feel like you need to have an opinion because people are watching and listening to you. And a lot of the argument about like how football players are on the clock and they shouldn't have their politics. It's like, yeah, but you put these people on TV.
Uh-huh.
Like they're not, you don't own them.
Right.
You know, and that's what has been really upsetting me about this whole thing is that, the white owners of the teams, the executives, every frat boy out there that does fantasy football league treat these guys as if they were their modern plaything slaves. And it's like, dude, no, these are people and their cousins and their brothers and their mothers and fathers are getting murdered. They have the right to. Now, they chose a form of protest that people are using to derail the conversation, which is, you know, taking a knee during the national anthem or something like that. I think they should just strike and ruin the football for a year and see how many people change their minds about calling them degenerate, millionaire, lazy scumbag.
Well, if every black person in the NFL went on strike, there would be no games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just how it is.
So treat them with respect because...
Well, and as far as what they're doing during the national anthem, I think it's actually a highly appropriate protest, considering the fact that in that song, it's the land of the free. And if you don't feel free in this land, if you feel like you're being oppressed by the government, then...
Protest it.
Protesting during that song is highly appropriate.
A silent, nonviolent protest is what we're always asking them to do in the first mm-hmm. place anyway. They're not even blocking traffic. And once again, and this really needs to be inserted into the conversation, they didn't even do that for the anthem until the military gave the football commission and the owners money after 9/11 to use it as a military recruitment tool. So they are only subverting a military recruitment tool for this faux patriotism, this jingoism that we're into in this country. And all they're doing is a passive attention to my thing. And if the president, which is weird to say that, but if President Trump hadn't made such a big deal out of it, it wouldn't have exploded to this point.
Right. It was Colin Kaepernick.
But he's a toddler, of course he made a big deal out of it.
Kaepernick lost his job. He is not on a team right now. So that protest could have died. Instead, mm-hmm. assholes made a big deal about it, and the protest has exploded.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy how that happens. Like, but and it's also weird. I mean, if you think about how far we go back to all the way, you know, I mean, I don't know, sports are not my main thing, but we can go back to like Muhammad Ali not wanting to get drafted because he was like, look, they're not my enemy. You're my enemy. You're the one that wants me to go kill people. I'd rather fight you and die here than go over there and die for you. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that was a summation of his much longer, more eloquent quote. But I mean, it's weird that we're still dealing with this kind of stuff. And no matter how a black man in this country wants to take a stand for things that he believes in, there will be a large portion of white Americans who are going to say he's doing it wrong and then call him names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he does it while he's poor, they call him ignorant. If he does it while he has money, they say he's spoiled. There is no middle ground where any man of color or any woman of color can say anything to us as a group of people where some white people are just going to be like, yes, but, and then go after why you're doing it instead of addressing your actual problem.
Right.
That's why we're saying it's against the military, or we're saying it's against the flag, when it's not. It's never been about that. It's about the treatment of black people and the police and how that goes together.
Yeah, I haven't heard a single athlete say fuck veterans.
No, nobody feels that way about veterans.
The only people saying that are the assholes people who are bringing up, oh, this is, they're just trying to diss veterans. Nobody thought that until you made that bullshit up.
It's a classic straw man argument. You create a thing, then you force them to defend that position that they never had. You just can't. There's just no way that you can make those people happy, because they're never going to allow themselves to see that you have validity in your argument. Like, I would almost rather have us have the conversation and them try to deny that there's a problem, because then we can actually look like the statistics that your friends bring up, you know, about the, because that's a simple mathematical rebuttal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you have a lot more white people, there's going to be more white people. But we look at the incarceration rates. I think a black male in this country...
Yeah, look at the percentages, not the...
Right. The black male in this country is 6 times more likely to be incarcerated than a white male. All things being equal.
In many states, results in the majority of the prison population being black men.
Absolutely. And we can even look at more complicated... And I mean, I'm not a sociologist. But, you know, you can look at a lot of the things and a lot of the factors. But even when you iron everything out... Black people go to prison for longer things for doing the same crimes more often than their white male counterparts.
Oh, all you have to do is...
Well, Bundy gets to walk free.
All you have to do is look at...
So crazy.
...at drug laws.
Oh, absolutely.
The crack conviction versus the cocaine conviction. Mm-hmm. Crack, you're going to prison for 20 years. Federal prison, 20 years. Cocaine, you might get a few months, maybe a year. The difference is... Traditionally, black people have used crack and white people have used coke.
This is like the conversation on heroin, which is primarily a white people problem.
Yeah.
So we act like it being a dilemma. It's a medical crisis.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how crack was treated.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just crazy. White people be racist, yo.
Yeah.
All right. So we got that all handled. And just in case there's any confusion, the protests in the NFL right now, they are protesting systemic racism, racism as a part of government action.
Yeah,
that is what they are protesting: is government agents murdering their kin,
which is fair, absolutely fair. I think somebody needs to draw attention to these social inequalities, because we as a species have a tendency, Americans as a species, have a tendency to ignore things that don't affect us directly. Mm-hmm. We are a rich country, and rich people have a hard time noticing that.
Yep. And if somebody's feeling oppressed and they have some time on camera that where they aren't actually doing their job, just standing around, that seems like a great time to protest to me.
There's just so much to unpack here. I mean, like, even dipping your toe into the conversation of racism, there's just a river of stuff that you almost feel like you want to address, but it would take the rest of the episode to even touch bases on some of this stuff. Like, I mean, we mentioned Jim Crow. We didn't go into any of it at all. You know, when we talk about the Confederate statue thing, like last time I was on, you know, and all this stuff is just tied together. And there's just a large percentage of people that are never going to see it as being a problem because they don't live it. And yeah, I mean, just one last thing. Saying that there is a problem with how you're being treated when you're black doesn't mean that you don't have problems as a white person. It means that those problems don't exist because you're white. There are other problems that may be similar to some of the problems that black people deal with, but nobody's going to shoot you for being white in this country. That's just not going to happen. The cops don't treat you like that. I once got pulled over on my birthday with an expired driver's license, hammered drunk, and the guy just let me drive home.
Yeah, I got pulled over for speeding while on the phone with an expired driver's license, and he didn't want to hassle. So he's just like, just get your driver's license renewed, go home.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, and
I have even more of a benefit because I'm a female, so.
And you were crying.
No, this was the time I almost hit the cop at a four-way stop because I was having a panic attack going to work.
Oh my god. Oh, you poor lady.
And I pulled over and I was just bawling, and he comes up, he's like, hey, hey, we're not all bad. Look, I'm just like you. We have glasses. We both have glasses. Yeah, we're fine. I'm like,
I one time had a cop who'd pulled somebody else over, leave that driver to get me.
Oh, good Lord.
And it took him 2 miles to get me.
That's funny.
And that was despite the fact that when I turned off of the highway, like I was planning on doing, I just coasted.
I just coasted
because I knew I was screwed. When I saw the cop pull back out in the lane, it was like,
what's going on. You can just tell sometimes.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my friend Boom, who's Thai, so he's brown, black hair, gets pulled over for no reason. All the time. Yeah.
I got pulled over for doing 83 in a 60. Yeah. And then the cop, when he heard that I had to get this girl back by her curfew, forgot, oh yeah, Adventist College crazy rules for college students who are adults, started doing a little bit more questioning. But all he did really was just ask, so how old are you? She said she was 19. He trusted her. He didn't ask to see anybody's ID. He didn't pull me out of the car for questioning.
That's so fucking crazy.
I'm white. Yeah. Anyway, it's time for a break. And then we have other news.
Other news!
Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's A-R-C-H-W-A-Y hosting.com. And we're also brought to you by patrons just like you. Excuse me, listeners just like you. But you can become a patron if you'd like. AtheistNomads.com/... Actually, that's backwards. You can find it on atheistnomads.com or go to patreon.com/atheistnomads.
All right.
All right. So Prince Harry had a meeting with Melania Trump. They're at some...
I feel bad for him already.
I don't care what the event was. It's irrelevant, but they were both at the event. They had the American and British flags behind them. Merc. Had to pose for a photo op, and he made the sign of the devil.
Oh my God. Yeah. The article was like, that's what they said. They said in the headline, Prince Harry makes sign of the devil.
The headline, conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
Yeah. Because what was he actually doing? He put his hand up partially into his suit. So his middle and ring finger were under the suit jacket.
They look comfortable, to be honest.
Index finger and pinky were over the jacket, and his thumb was tucked slightly under the jacket. That is not the sign of the devil.
No, no.
Also, devil doesn't have a sign. Like, yeah. I mean, he's never had one made for him. There's just, I actually don't know the history on this. I don't know where the devil, I mean, I know the metal version, like, is, but it had to come from somewhere, right?
I think it came from metal.
I think it came from the Longhorns. I think they're the devil.
Oh, yeah. That's very similar. Maybe he was doing the Longhorn symbol. Maybe he's just a Longhorns fan.
Except...
Or he just happened to be caught in a position that is completely 100% innocent and somebody ran with it.
But if you look at the video, he held the position for 16 seconds.
Why would you move in the middle of photos? You don't need to blur anything.
Right. And that's a relatively comfortable position. Who hasn't tucked your hand into your coat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do it. When I do it, I'm making the devil sign, though. That's the biggest difference. I'm all like, Satan!
I posted it on the webpage with the rock on, and the animated GIFs that people posted to that thread were hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's super funny.
All right. So we started with the funny one. Next one, I'm torn on. A 14-year-old Jehovah's Witness girl. She's been preaching since she was 9, since apparently Jehovah's Witnesses start preaching as children. Apparently they're crazy enough to allow children to preach, because that's just stupid.
Seems weird to me, too.
Anyway,
I preach about my cheese cracker snack.
She turned 14, which, at least in Quebec, is the minimum age to be able to make medical decisions for yourself. And then she got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Right.
The doctors have given her 95% chances of survival with treatment. She has agreed to the treatment, but she declined blood transfusion since they had to ask, would you accept a blood transfusion if necessary? She said no. The hospital took that to court.
Well, yeah. I mean, their own interest is to not waste their time and energy and save a life. There, she doesn't need a blood transfusion, but if she does during mm-hmm. treatment, it will be necessary to save her life. So, yeah.
And it will be fucking, they have to act very fast.
I think at this point, it's just common sense for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get the idea of like trying to respect people's, you know, religious beliefs, even if we think they're stupid. Like, whatever. Right. And usually it doesn't harm, but she is a minor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is her life, and we're asking a 14-year-old. And in the article, if you read the article, you guys link these articles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yep. When you read the article, you'll note that in the court, they mentioned that she talked about the concept of death without emotion, where it was just like something that had been explained to her. Mind you, these people also believe that death is a portal. It just
exactly.
leads you. Like, she doesn't, as Paul said, for me, death is a game. Like, there's mm-hmm. no way that you can convince someone who thinks that she has eternal life. And getting into even early, she gets to skip the line. Like,
well,
skip
actually,
the next 60 years.
Not Jehovah's Witnesses.
Okay, so they just wait?
You're dead. You don't know. You know, you're just dead.
Yeah,
like,
sure, why not?
Yeah. Until the second coming.
Oh, yeah. No,
and
my dad's
then you get
like that. But you don't experience it.
You don't
like,
experience
you get
it.
To
you're just
skip ahead.
You're right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, you basically portal to the front of the line. You only had to live for 15 or 16 years and then you're in heaven.
And even better than that, your ticket's punched.
Yeah. You died. Yeah. I think from her perspective, because I remember being super religious as a teenager, I think I would have said, if I believe the same along the same lines. But now if you ask 40-year-old Mikey, I'd be like, yeah, that guy was fucking out of his mind.
Yeah.
Do not listen to teenagers. They don't know anything.
Do not listen to anybody who is younger than yourself currently, because they're idiots.
Yeah, so older people are suspect as well.
Yeah, that's true.
The judges did take into account, because the way the law works there is with minors, parents or the hospital or doctors or whatever medical entity is doing the treatment can sue to override the child's decision.
Good.
Because minor children are still children and are idiots.
Yeah, I think this is a problem for their perspective, but I don't think it's a problem for society. If our children need to have common sense overruled for them, then I guess that's just going to happen sometimes. Because you and I both know nothing bad's going to happen to her from a blood transfusion. And yeah, it's a religious belief, but yep. some religions believe some weird stuff, and we don't have to let people die for no reason. I mean, I get it if you're an adult. Like, if she was a 50-year-old woman, I'd be like, yeah, let her die. But
she's 14 with a 95% chance of survival. That's
right. Just refusing the blood transfusion drops her chance of survival down to 70%.
Yeah, that's
because too much. Of the risk of complications requiring a transfusion. Because, yeah, things can go bad while you're pumping poison into your veins.
Yeah, it's dicey. And they are literally just looking out for her best interests. And, I mean, I get it, but I don't feel bad for her. Because, I mean, I don't want to sound too condescending, but she's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, the blood transfusions are going to hurt nothing. She will get better. And, yeah, she might carry that weight in with her spiritually. But that's it. That's the worst thing that's going to happen is she's going to have a crisis of faith. Or what happens if they get blood transfusions against their will? Like, is that still a sin? Like, if someone held you down and gave you a blood transfusion, how is anyone holding that against you?
That wouldn't be a sin at that point.
Yeah, one would think, right?
But if you assent to it in any way, then it is, because then you are culpable.
So now, as long as she continually says, no, don't do this to me.
Wink, wink.
She still gets into heaven.
Yeah.
So no matter what she does, she's fine at this point. And she can complain, but whatever. She's still going to not die horribly. And she can continue talking about her religion. And also, anytime a religion says that you've been teaching since you were a 9 or 14-year-old, is just making stuff up. Because I taught Bible lessons at that age, and I was wrong. Like, it just doesn't. Okay, now, yeah, you talk to other people when you were a child. Good for you.
One of the things that's kind of crazy here is the fact that almost every healthcare facility you ever enter will ask, do you accept blood transfusions? They ask that because of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, they're pretty adamant against it.
Which is a tiny, tiny percent.
We're talking...
The default should be the other way around, where you don't have to consent, you have to decline.
I agree. I would actually take
Same thing with organ transplants, too, I think.
But I would take it a step further than that. It's just, if you are accepting treatment, you accept the treatment protocol. And that protocol includes blood transfusions.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
If you accept chemotherapy, blood transfusions are a common part of that treatment protocol.
It's true.
If you get surgery, blood transfusions are a normal part of surgery. And if you ask a medical provider to practice medicine with their hands tied, that's not fair to them.
Yeah, looking at it from the medical practitioner's point of view makes it really seem difficult. You're asking a professional who is actually a life-saving individual to try to do their best without using their best tools.
Right.
It'd be like, we want you to save this little girl's life. We just don't want you to do this. We want you to do it in the hardest difficulty setting possible.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck, and it's still your fault if she dies.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's not fair.
Your malpractice insurance rates are going to go up. You are probably going to get sued.
I think it'd be fair that you should be able to deny giving them treatment if they're not going to follow your advice. Like, I think that's totally fair. Like, you're paying this person to do a job. You couldn't do that to a carpenter where you'd be like, hey, I need you to build this deck for me. And be like, all right, here's what I need to do. Be like, no. I don't want you to use joints. You just need to get the wood to bend.
Yeah.
He should be able to be like, you know, I'm done. I'm not doing this job. That's what he would do.
But except there are lives at stake. And that's.
Yeah,
which is why we're forcing the issue. I think Canada's ahead of the game on this one. I have a feeling there would be states in Idaho, or Idaho specifically, where we would just let them die because their parents would say no.
That's healing.
Idaho,
historically what Idaho
that
does.
That is what Idaho does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
a huge issue here, actually.
Very big issue. And the legislature keeps ignoring it.
Well, that's because, you know, all branches of government in Idaho are pretty... Until you get appealed all the way to the Ninth Court, and then they're like, ha ha.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Oh, man. Well, apparently half the population can't, because women only have half a brain to begin with.
Oh, God, that guy.
And then if they go shopping, they lose half of their brain.
How do you even say that?
And so then they only have a quarter of a brain. And you wouldn't let a man with half a brain drive,
Most
let alone
men
a man with
a
quarter of a brain. So why would we let women drive?
Was this one of those? Okay, was this guy Saudi?
Yeah.
God, how are these guys our allies?
Seriously, okay, so guys have half a brain because their brains are split between head and penis.
Right.
So if they are at all aroused, that's a quarter of a brain.
Well, that's the old Robin Williams line. God gave man a brain and a penis, but only enough blood to run one at a time.
Yeah. So men shouldn't drive either.
Not when they're horny. So they're, not often.
You pop a boner for no reason at all.
Well, yeah, that'll happen. Does that for health-related reasons while you sleep.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, no driving on bumpy roads.
Yeah, whatever. We just need to stop letting non-professional religious people have opinions on what people can do for medical reasons. You shouldn't be allowed to use your qualifications as a religious scholar or teacher to say anything about the human body unless the next thing is, are you a doctor?
No, he was obviously talking figuratively anyway.
I don't think so.
These guys
people don't literally lose a fourth of their brain when they go spend money. That doesn't make sense.
Only women. That's only
men
women.
Men can go shopping without the brain loss somehow. We're magically, spiritually protected.
It's just...
And this guy is the head of religious fatwas in Saudi Arabia's Asir governorate.
Oh, so, you know, extra professional.
So he is, he is official.
And that's the only thing that makes us scary. Somebody who would say something like that, we can laugh off the internet, no problem. But the fact that policy might be involved is like, no, you just got to fight it.
Saudi Twitter went after this guy pretty hard, though.
Yeah.
And I think...
Especially with the ruling recently that would allow women in stadiums. That was a big one. There's a movement. And I think this guy is back trying to backlash against that movement.
Well, because there is serious consideration. A few women have actually been granted driver's licenses.
That's such a recent thing, though. And they weren't doing it at all.
And it's because of, in part, because there was never a rule that said that women couldn't drive.
Yeah, they forgot to do that.
They just, nobody gave them licenses because their husbands wouldn't let them go get the license, and you can't do anything without your husband. So how are women going to get their licenses anyway? Well, a few did. And so now they want to make sure they can't.
Yeah. Ugh.
I think this is
the whole country is just...
Mind you, the Saudis did 9/11. That's actually the fact. It's almost all... So, you know, on that basis alone, which has nothing to do with this whatsoever, I just don't think that religious people should have an opinion on stuff like this at all. Or you can just say it at home or in your church, because you don't... I don't really think...
If it's not directly affecting policy, you can have your soapbox. People will either agree with you or laugh at you. But the fact that this is like a government official is just like, oh, dude.
But you bring up a good point about how, you know, the Saudis did 9/11. Our aim with the war on terror was pretty bad. You start way far away.
We're off by a couple thousand miles.
Right, and then you move closer to Iraq.
Mm.
We just had the troops on the wrong side of that border.
I don't even think it's a good solution. I mean, the guys, we were the ones that trained them in the first place.
We only make things worse.
Well, the region has always been like that. Like, even when you go back to the first Crusades, there was already wars between groups of people in there, and we made allies with one side, not necessarily realizing the Europeans didn't even know the difference between these two fighting sides in that part of the world. And we still, the average American doesn't know who our allies and our enemies are. We don't realize how much of it is just the fault of empire after empire getting their fingers in there and then wondering why they get fingers bit off. Because, it's not a kind place.
Yeah. Which one of the big...
For foreigners.
One of the big things that got missed in the Crusade era was the Kurds versus the Arabs. No European recognized there as being a distinction there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people still don't recognize the distinction. Yet in Iraqi Kurdistan, 74% of the population went to the poll today to vote in a independence referendum.
Yeah, no, I think the Kurds deserve their own country. They've been allies with us in that area, and a lot of the military buddies that I have just an incredible amount of nice things. As a matter of fact, in my now defunct podcast, we actually interviewed a gay Kurdish guy where we never got to air the episode because the potential backlash against his family was too great.
Yeah, but
he's in Idaho now, gay, and living his life. And he still has to keep it under wraps publicly because where he's from, everybody knows each other. The families live in the same houses they've lived in for literally hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And you can't not. Like, there's no way stuff doesn't get around in that kind of environment. Yeah, I don't know. If you're religious, that's great. I think, you know, I'm pretty anti-theist in a lot of ways. I don't think we should take your religion from you. I think we should let it wither on the vine. And the information age itself erodes at religion just as it erodes at these guys saying this stuff. Because the women in Saudi Arabia that aren't allowed to have driver's licenses are, however, allowed to find out that women drive in the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that fact alone undermines his point altogether.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't tell a woman that she can't do something when every other woman does it already.
Well, and also...
Just can't do it.
Or they used to do it.
And they used to do it there.
And
before the Islamic...
Demonstrably, women are better drivers. All you have to do is look at insurance rates. Insurance companies figure out risk better than anybody else.
Yeah, that's hard math right there. Young men are the worst.
Yep.
That's so much.
I wasn't going to say anymore. Yeah. Just young men are the worst.
Yep. You know, evolution gave these plants these substances for really good reasons, like killing insects. And of course, we figured out that they'd help us stay awake and feel better and be happier and...
Just more productive as human beings.
Oh, okay. Here it is. So the original term for LDS was hot drinks.
Mm.
Hot drinks was a reference to teas and coffee. That is what was in the health.
Okay.
Their health maintenance thing. So sodas were totally left out of that.
Because they're cold.
Yeah, so does a... But because the people knew what they meant when they said hot drinks, they were talking about the stimulants.
Mm-hmm.
They brought that over to sodas. It's been banned on campuses ever, you know, forever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but back in 2012 was when they officially had it proclaimed that sodas were fine.
Okay. Yeah, with the Adventist Walla Walla, we had no caffeine on campus proper.
Mm-hmm.
There was a college-owned gas station and convenience store on the edge of campus called the DX, short for Dairy Express, that did have caffeinated beverages. But I don't think there was anything stronger than Mountain Dew.
Yeah, but Mountain Dew is not exactly entry-level caffeine.
No, but it was also... The difference is the Mormons went with hot drinks... Adventists went with strong drinks like beer, wine, liquor, coffee, and tea.
Well, here in the, it said it was dictated in 1833 by Joseph Smith that it barred the consumption of wine, strong drinks, which were alcohol, mm-hmm. tobacco, and hot drinks, which has been defined by the church authorities as tea and coffee.
Philippe Barbarin. And that's probably not pronounced correctly because he's French.
That's all right.
Is a senior cardinal in France, of course, with the Catholic Church. He has been viewed as a likely successor to Pope Francis.
Well, not anymore.
And he and six other priests have been ordered to appear in court. And he himself is facing charges for not reporting priests raping children.
Oh, yeah, 100% behind this. Society needs to not let churches cover up for child rape.
Just like our government shouldn't allow white middle-aged men to cover up for regular rape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, we brought it back to racism in two steps. That didn't take long.
Nope, didn't take long.
Yeah.
Because I'm thoroughly convinced that every Republican who has ever come down and said that rape isn't as big of a problem as it actually is are rapists. So they're just trying to save their own asses. I think a lot of that is also true with the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's not that big of a deal. It's like, oh, you fiddled a kid, didn't you?
Well, it's worse than that. It's just so systemic there. They are all guilty.
Oh, yeah. It's...
Whether...
Whew.
Including the Pope.
Whether Francis fucked children himself or not, he has helped cover up the fucking of children.
It's the soundbite of the episode right there. That was a good soundbite. Whether or not the Pope has fucked kids, he has covered up the fucking of children. I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
I get, once again, religious rules being what they are. Yeah, you don't want to. And I even, whatever, priest client privilege or whatever you want to call it. I think if you as a priest find out that somebody is fucking kids, even if it's another priest... Maybe take that to
you
the
know,
cops.
Maybe especially if it's another priest.
Yeah, because right. You can't necessarily trust your own
group.
Because
you're in a position of power, so yeah. You can...
So we talked about last time the fact that Pope Francis admitted to the fact they have a 2,000 case backlog they are working through and aren't even going to be looking into cardinals and bishops who covered up child sexual abuse.
But yeah.
They're only looking at the direct abuse itself. And they have a 2,000 case backlog.
They need to hire outside help.
Right. Like,
yeah,
just
like the police.
Send them home.
Yeah.
Hand over the paperwork, the complaints to the police, and let the police and prosecutors handle it.
Police don't want to handle that many pedophile cases.
But this guy, okay, he's in line to replace the Pope. The odds of him staying in France for the next 6 months until he goes to trial?
Flight risk, you say?
Oh, I would put money that he is on the next flight to Rome.
Oh, I mean, he's probably there already.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Brazil or Argentina.
Well, no, those are where the Nazis go.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we're going to tie that all together.
Tie it all together.
Nazis go to Brazil and Argentina, or apparently Idaho and Virginia. And and pedophile priests go to Rome.
Fun fact, actually, it was a lot of Civil War whites after the war when they lost moved to Idaho, and that's why we're so racist up here.
Yeah.
That's in cultural from literally yep. The Civil War.
Oh, and as a little kid, I was confused in Grants Pass of being from Texas because my accent did not sound right. I had the Malheur County accent from Eastern Oregon. It's unique. It's this weird mix of Northwestern, Southern, in Basque.
Well, you know, we do have a lot of Basques.
And yeah, just
we bask people. In their glory.
Yeah. Anyway,
of paella.
Pro Basque.
Barbarin is hopefully going to prison.
Guilty as fuck.
Yeah.
Literally?
Probably. I you know, it's just where are your ethics? Like, we look to the priesthood to be better than us. Like, we're atheists and we still think the priest should have a good line on it because this is literally their whole job.
Yeah.
It's not my job to be ethical and to talk about it. It's their job to be ethical and talk about it.
But yeah. Children's rights is a relatively recent thing.
It's still rape, though. I mean, I understand it's recent, but it's also he lives in the same century we do. It's not like he wasn't able to update his software.
Yeah, but he's been grown. Him and people like him all grew up in the same society where this has always been happening. Mm-hmm. It's almost your God-given right as a priest to abuse the younger men because that's what happened to you. And, you know, fuck what the world says. You're part of your own special thing. Well,
I'm sure it gets muddled quickly.
I can totally actually see where these guys are coming from. And you're right. It's time for them to look out in the world and say, oh, whoops, wrong century.
Right.
This is wrong.
Yeah, just because your priest fucked you when you were an altar boy.
Right.
Does not give you the right to fuck altar boys.
Pope Francis just needs to make it legal to masturbate.
Well,
you just make it a low key, what is the low key sin for Catholics? Not the major ones.
Yeah.
The non cardinal ones.
Yeah.
No, it's on the hierarchy of sex. They need to put fucking children at the very bottom of the list of how sinful sex is. And move masturbation up quite a few steps.
So you mean bottom as in one of the worst things you can do?
Like, make it the worst.
Yeah, just pedophilia being bad. Yeah, that seems like a common sense solution.
Yep. You just move that all the way to the bottom.
It's very clear at this point that the Catholic Church was complicit in covering up for the rape of children across the planet. And now that it's actually worming its way up their own stuff, all the way literally to the feet of the Pope himself. It's just, I think in the long run, this really hurts Catholicism and that whole section of Christianity because that is a pretty big breach of trust.
Yeah. How is it that the average Catholic can see all this happening and be okay with it?
A lot of them
aren't. Being okay with their sons going to be altar boys.
Right.
It's like, oh, it's not my priest. Well, you don't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like everybody's congressman and senator is okay and not part of the problem.
I like my state representative. That's just kidding. Actually, Su Chu. Yeah, I have. She's amazing.
Phyllis King stepped down. That was sad.
Yeah, so she's cool. I actually run into her in Albertsons occasionally. She was playing with something with change.
That's adorable.
They don't get paid very well.
Yeah, it's fine. They're doing good work.
Yeah, $20,000 a year is what you get paid to be in the Idaho State Legislature.
A raise for me. Yeah. It's just weird. Like, I wrote a joke a long time ago about priests having sex with kids. I want to say 10 years ago. And as the news waxes and wanes on this, this joke will come and go with lines about this joke wasn't funny 6 months ago, but priests kept fucking kids. And here we are. Yep. Like, I don't do that joke anymore because it's about, you know, fucking kids. And I don't talk about that much anymore. But
the humor isn't about the fucking kids. The humor is that this has been going on and it's back again.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah. Well, it's...
So I think that's a legit joke.
Well, what's interesting, though, is the reason
if
it's
if they would just
back.
Stop fucking kids, this wouldn't be a joke anymore. Yeah,
really. 10 years ago, it was in the news that priests were fucking children because apparently nobody noticed, even though it had been going
nobody
on
reported.
Forever. And it became in the news. Well... Then the news became, oh, it's worse than just that. It's bishops are shuffling priests around so they can go to new places to fuck new children.
Yeah, because the sin wasn't having sex with kids. It was getting caught.
Right. And now the news is when they're actually getting in trouble. The story is progressing. It's sad that it's progressing so slow.
Yeah.
But it is progressing. And hopefully... by the time we get to episode 800, the Catholic Church goes bankrupt.
You know, honestly, they just need to stop having sex with children. I don't know why they don't.
That's really the solution. Yeah.
That's the thing that kills me.
I don't even mind the guys having big old sex orgies in hotels and stuff.
They can fuck each other. I don't care. They're all adults.
Great. That's fine. They need to do that. The more they can, the better.
But don't have little kids. Or anybody under the age of 18 or 16.
It's a cultural problem. I mean, when you take sex away from an entire group of professionals... Yeah, just humanity will warp itself.
They'll kink it out.
Yeah, like, it's just not normal to force people into being celibate.
Leave it to having sex with seminary students, not altar boys.
I just think we need to get in the old-fashioned rules of consent. When someone reaches an age of consent, they can consent to sexual activities as long as they maintain the ability to consent throughout the opportunity of, or, you know, throughout the interaction. And that they are not coerced into it in any fashion.
But that is not possible in the case of a priest, because the priest always holds power over the person they're fucking.
Well, which is why they can fuck each other.
Which is great.
Yeah. Or women. I honestly think you should allow priests to get married. It would solve a lot of these problems.
That would, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, gay marriage, straight marriage, I don't care. Just give them that, because then they... Also, the very basis of people not having, or them not allowing to have women is ridiculous anyway. I mean, Paul himself was like, yeah, it's good for a man not to marry, but I get it if you gotta. Like, it was literally his next line. He's like, but I get it. Like, Paul himself either presented himself as asexual or gay or whatever he was doing. He was basically like, hey, I don't need a lady, and it's good if you don't, but because if you think about it, one of my best friends is asexual, and she is super capable of getting shit done. Because she doesn't date, she doesn't have sex, none of that bothers, none of the drama of any of that stuff. She's just making cookie and making art, because she's ace. And so I get it. From that perspective, it's good not to need dick in your life. But if you need dick, get some.
Well, and the crazy thing is, the whole reason why they have celibate priests is so that you don't have the bishop thrones being passed from father to son. It's so that you don't have land inheritance in Europe from when the church was basically a shadow state.
No, you gotta
right,
have your
it's not really
Sunday
an issue
something.
Anymore.
Yeah.
And we're past that.
It's all ridiculous.
Yeah.
This ridiculous.
We aren't in the Middle Ages anymore.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, let's go ahead and move on to Trump and his new judicial nominee for district court in Texas. He has picked former general counsel of the First Liberty Institute.
Oh, God.
Formerly known as the Liberty Institute.
Yes. Anybody who names themselves like that is a real problem.
Yeah.
He is currently the Assistant Attorney General of Texas. And he, while at the First Liberty Institute, said that transgender children are evidence of Satan's plan.
Sure. I don't know if these guys know what the word evidence means.
No, I don't even care. He can believe that. Just how on earth is he in government?
Well, Texas, A.
Texas. Yeah. There's a reason why you got hit by hurricanes.
And the reason he said
no, that's terrible. There.
And the reason he said that was because he was talking about how terrible it was that states were banning conversion therapy.
Yeah, I mean, we just back all the way up to the horrible idea of conversion therapy. Like, I mean, even if you don't understand why someone would present themselves to the universe the way that they choose to, even if it's you struggle to understand non-binary ways of looking at things or being inside a body that doesn't feel like the real version of you or any of that stuff, where do you get to the point where you're like, I know, let's force these children into behaving the way that they need to behave?
Uh-huh.
Like, it's just...
Back in the good old days when we were able to do frontal lobotomies, we didn't have this problem.
Yeah, let's do more electroshocks. And that is, a lot of these conversion therapies, suicide rate of people in these things is insane. You are literally sending kids to kill themselves.
Yeah.
Conversion therapy, it never works.
Nope.
Best case scenario is you're going to convince a gay person to pretend to be straight and then just be miserable. Which, how's that a win for anybody?
And that usually lasts for 5 or 10 years.
That is a win for them.
Yeah, but it doesn't...
They don't care if they kill themselves or are miserable. They don't care.
No, with conversion therapy, the standard norm is if you survive the first round and don't kill yourself, then you get married, and then you end up falling on a cock.
Yeah, you didn't ruin somebody else's life.
So then you go back to gay conversion therapy where you have more gay sex.
yeah, let's get all these queers in the same room together. And I'm going to say, like, I actually got to do the Portland Queer Comedy Festival in July of 2017 this year.
God, I know, and you won't shut up about it.
Yeah, I'm never going to not talk about it. But it's relevant to this conversation.
Oh.
Because queer spaces, when populated by queer people, is actually a very welcoming and accepting group of people, because every individual in that conversation or group had to readdress their relationship with reality and the way people look at things at large.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you have individual queers in a mostly straight dynamic, you are kind of like a rock in a stream where, like, a lot of this energy flows around you and people accept or don't accept you. But when you're in a queer space, things get comfortable fairly quickly because you just handle it. It's because everyone in this room is on somewhere on a spectrum or identifies in a way, and I may not understand everything, but you're much more accepting of that. And when you think about it, I think even in a teenage years, when people are still questioning and exploring and finding out about themselves, there's probably no faster way to convince your daughter she's a lesbian than to force her to live with a bunch of other teenage girls out in the forest somewhere together. Like, it doesn't even seem like it's a good strategy, because they're all on the same page, except for one of the girls. Oh, she knows. And she's going to be willing to talk about that with the rest of them.
Yep.
So, like, it doesn't even make sense from their point of view. Like, there's nothing good. It's violent. Mm-hmm. People die. And all you're doing is subverting your own game plan.
Yep. All right. Jeff Batir's other concern in these, it was a pair of speeches that he gave in 2015, was that same-sex marriage would lead to polygamy and bestiality.
Oh, I love the slippery
slope
fallacy.
There was a man who married a horse, wasn't there?
Yeah, one day.
That's sweet.
It wasn't legal.
Then there was a guy who was fucked to death by a horse.
That was in Issaquah, Washington.
I think it's an old Arabian. I like the Arabian phrasing for the slippery slope fallacy, where they call it the nose of the camel.
Yeah.
Like, if you let the nose of the camel into the tent, the rest of the camel will follow.
Right.
I think the thing about this slippery slope that I really love the most is what they do is they categorize things as normal and abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you allow one abnormal thing, then we're just going to let people fucking marry their turtles.
Yep.
Like, that's the next step. We're never going to have a conversation about it again. There's never going to be anything that stops it.
Turtles would give awful head.
Can you imagine? It's all bite, 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 bite.
And no. then they're going to allow turtles to marry toasters.
Yep, obviously, because it's all horrible.
Yeah.
I think degeneracy.
I'm about ready to have a divorce with our toaster.
Yeah, it's just not putting out like it used to.
Just doesn't put out.
It's got a fiddly switch.
So funny.
You have to jiggle it a little sometimes.
Yeah, it's just old. Needs a little more warming up.
But it's what's ridiculous with it, though, is that with that slippery slope argument is, okay, a man and a woman marrying, and you just take out man and woman and replace that with two people.
Consenting adults.
That minor little tweak, like, you just change bride and groom to spouse and spouse. Minor little language tweaks, and it all works. It all works perfectly. Well, at least in the last 25, 30 years. Before that, it wouldn't have made sense legally because women were not real. Well, once married women were not real persons.
Yeah, it's because they only had a quarter of a brain.
Yeah,
so even
into the 1980s,
married women could not own property or have credit.
You could still legally beat women within my lifetime.
Yeah. So that, when that changed, the possibility of... That's where the slippery slope happened. You allow women to have credit, and the gays are going to get married. That was a legitimate slippery slope. It still took 30 fucking years.
Oh, yeah, no, it's moving way too slow. In the future, the vast majority of the planet will have to just accept that people are like, alongside with the second thing that's probably going to happen with increased lifespan, there's going to be a movement away from permanent marriage. We'll probably start to see marriage contracts of decades or years with renewable things, because it makes less sense if the future people who might live to be 150, if we're all still here, North Korea, but if we're all still here, it seems weird that you would tell someone who's going to live to be 150 that getting married at 25, they're going to be together for the rest of their lives. That is so incredibly unrealistic. Nobody's had a 100-year wedding anniversary that I'm aware of. It just never happened in the history of anything.
My grandparents had a 70th.
Yeah, mine did too. I think they are still together, and they got married right after World War II. They've been together a long time, but they're not going to have 100. And they also come from a period where, like you said, she couldn't leave her husband. Mm-hmm. What would she have? Literally nothing. A small stipend if she's lucky to try to eke out No. So we can't expect people now. So these two things are going to happen. People are going to get married less, and marriage itself by then will be devalued to the point where the few, because the only really thing holding out on this is religion anyway, because it's not like non-religious people care.
And government tax status.
Which, you know, it's and not like we can rewrite code.
All that. But polygamy, though, having that on the slippery slope, because bestiality...
I have actually no problem with polygamy. That's just either.
Consenting adults.
Bestiality, that's just silly. Stop being a silly...
Billy.
Billy, sure.
Billy goat. But who polygamy... do give good head.
Specifically with polygamy is... That would require major changes in how the code is written, because community property can't be automatic reasonably with the potential multiple marriage combinations that could happen. And divorce gets a lot more complicated. Inheritance gets a lot more complicated. So there are a lot of changes. A lot of the things that are automatic with marriage would need to not be automatic. And that's where you start getting into marriage contracts, where you define it exactly how you want to define it.
I mean, there is a reason why the only places that actually have polygamy are places where women have no rights in the first place. Mm-hmm.
Which is weird, because long-term polygamy actually is more detrimental to males, because all the women then go to the wealthy males, and your average dude who works mm-hmm. at a 7-Eleven gets zero women. So I think if you really wanted to fight polygamy, you would teach a lot of these guys sociology, so they would realize that, hey, if you don't want polygamy to exist, you, because monogamy basically is beneficial to all males, because that means there's enough women for all the men.
Yep.
All the other systems where we treat women like property, and this is gross even to talk about, only benefit the rich dudes. It doesn't necessarily help out the
rich,
women.
Old men.
Yeah. Guys with a lot of resources, they're not going to let you have any of that stuff. And it's just not, it's not beneficial to women, and it's not beneficial to most guys. It's beneficial to that top percentage of dudes. And if you just let
but
everyone
look
else...
look at our society.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's all like that now. So this is one of the few things we're not giving to all the rich dudes. Because I can imagine, like, in that society, I don't necessarily even blame women for signing a marriage contract to one of the rich guys, because then she at least gets a place to live. Mm-hmm. Like, and maybe resources to have the kids she might want to have if that's what she wants to do. And that's not, I don't think that's a good way to run a society. But once again, I'm Lauren. If people want to, if consenting adults want to sign up into that lifestyle, I don't care. I mean, if it's beneficial to them and they're, and it's not hurting anyone, why would you give a shit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there are plenty of lawyers who would line up to figure out the legalese.
Yeah, they can figure it out.
But there is no way that would be handled in the courts. That is one where enough changes would be necessary that it would have to be handled legislatively.
Yeah.
They'd have to overhaul a lot of stuff.
And I could imagine a scenario where a court could order the legislature to update the law, but that is really rare, because it's really hard to get people to actually agree on changes to law.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, our country's anti-polygamy because we hate Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and historically this has existed throughout a lot of societies, especially ones in the Middle East for a really long time, where all the religions came from. It's all through the old Christian Testament. I mean, Solomon had more women than you could shake a stick at.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So our final story for the episode is two Buddhists in England.
Entered a bar.
In 2015, bought 5,000 pounds worth of crabs and lobsters, more than 700 animals. And their belief is that these animals belong in the wild.
Oh, sure.
So they released them into the English Channel.
Not a good move.
These were not native to the English Channel.
What? Lobsters?
And local officials are still working on this 2 years later. They have put out bounties to hunt down these animals. They have found some of the lobsters full of eggs.
Right, which means there's lobsters out there laying lobster eggs and having lobster babies.
Thousands of lobster babies.
And if everybody gets a lobster.
This is just ignorance. I mean, I get...
It was naive, just uneducated sweet Buddhism. Ignorance.
Yeah, like, I'm not mad at these dudes. That's just
they
an education fail.
They still need to pay
fail.
For it, though.
Well, I mean, if somebody has to pay for it. I mean, there's no way, though, they could afford to pay for this. Like, that's like a token thing.
It's an economical disaster.
Yeah, it's a disaster. That's just an education fail. Also, invasive species are a real big issue. And I don't think people realize
I'm
that.
I'm sure some naive little somebody thought lionfish needed to go out to the ocean. They planted one off the coast of Florida, and now they're the most invasive species, like, in the ocean.
Oh, we saw one in Mexico.
Yeah, they're everywhere now. That was really dumb.
Beautiful, and it looks really out of place with sea turtles in the Caribbean.
It's just interesting, our opinions on invasive species. I mean, I understand that this is actually detrimental to the way things are. A, humanity is the worst invasive species of all time. We changed the whole planet.
Oh, yeah.
And then the things we bring with us, rats, house cats, are one of the worst rated invasive species of all times. A single house cat that's an outside cat can murder thousands of animals in any year. Just thousands. Just wreck it.
Yeah.
Now, granted, because of cities, these species don't necessarily have other predators, which allows the cat to have free access to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird how we select the species we determine to be things, when if you look at a long enough historical perspective, every species except what at this point, sharks and crocodiles, are invasive species. Everything else hasn't been around long enough to matter.
Wild horses in Oregon and Nevada.
Pleistocene animal, I believe. Not around long enough. That's an invasive species. Oh. The other things used to live there.
Horses
live there.
Wild horses in the Americas went extinct thousands and thousands of years ago.
And then we reintroduced.
And then they got reintroduced by the Spanish.
Well, you know, I mean, they're very useful animals to have.
Yeah, but not native to the deserts of Eastern Oregon and Nevada.
I think the phrasing, I mean, it does damage things like, you know, Hawaii isn't actually one of the best examples, you know, because that was an island. And it was an island full of just an amazing array of beautiful species of plant and animal life. And then we bring other things there, and then they don't have natural predators or natural corrections. The plants and animals don't have defenses against these species, and they just wreck shit.
Yeah.
So there's invasive plants and invasive animals, and these species now are from there. I mean, even rooting them out. So now say there's lobsters in the English Channel 200 years from now because of these two idiots. Okay. I mean, lobsters are from there now.
Yeah.
Like at some point we just change our phrasing when new generations are out. Well, yeah, lobsters have been around since my grandfather's time. Lobsters are from the English Channel, and nobody except robots will remember that literally two Buddhist dudes back in 2015 released a bunch of good natured Buddhist dudes. And here's the thing. These guys, not an ounce of evil in this at all.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if they were high.
Like this is a Disney movie. It's literally two guys that are like, we should save all these animals and release them into the ocean. And then, you know, 2 years later, it's like, well, that's going to be $850,000 to each of you.
Yep. They have both pled guilty to releasing non-native species into the wild.
See, they didn't even fight it.
No, they knew. They knew.
Well, I mean, I think once you explain that to somebody.
They knew they did bad, not good. And it's like, okay, and as much as we've changed so many species, like cattle, there used to be wild cattle. There are not wild
still
cattle
are in Africa, and they are mean.
Well, those aren't the same as our domestic cows.
Right.
That's a different species. But there were wild versions of that animal. That does not exist anymore. There are no wild bulls in Iberia.
There are still wild pigs, though, and those are real dicks.
But with those, with cows, if we decided we weren't going to eat them and use them for leather, we would have to slaughter all of them. There is no reintroducing them to the wild. We have changed them so much. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have a chihuahua in the same room right now. It's not like you could release chihuahuas in the wild.
Chihuahua.
Some of their ancestors are fennec foxes. That's the closest species you have to a chihuahua. Like, we interbred them with a bunch of stuff, but a lot of them were fennec foxes initially. And then there's no direct relation.
He survived on the streets.
Oh, sure.
He's
for a short
smart
period of time.
With plus snow.
There are herds of wild chihuahuas in Mexico, I hear.
In Mexico, yes. But in scenarios where packs of dogs roam, the small dogs like chihuahuas don't make it past the first generation because they are predated upon by the larger dogs.
Right.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, chihuahuas themselves aren't recognized by dogs by all canine species. Sometimes in dog parks, you will actually see other dogs treat chihuahuas like prey.
And I don't blame them.
We've seen it more with Rocco where they treat him like a puppy.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're just dogs.
Yeah. It's a squeaky toy.
I mean, as long as he acts like a puppy, I guess that's the safety thing for him.
Yeah.
It's a good move. It's just weird. I mean, that being said, though, you shouldn't introduce species into non-native areas because that's just a mess.
Or let them breed.
Yeah.
Like, just going at it all the time. My neighbor, or not my neighbor, my friend has a neighbor who bought a cat. Cat was pregnant.
Oh, no.
Had two kittens. And then 6 months later, those two kittens have now had kittens of their own. So, like, it's just the kittens are having kittens and the neighborhood is now overrun with little black cats.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, dude.
Oh, and
no
cats,
cat for you.
Cats can have 8-10 kittens per litter. They can have a litter like every 6 months.
Well, this is why they're a great invasive species. And they go feral, what, in a generation, like we were saying. It doesn't take even long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you leave cats out in the street. Their first litter is a street cat.
Yep.
Like, you can domesticate them to a point, but it's the cats aren't far from the wild.
You can tame cats. If you get it as a kitten and you keep it in your home, you have a tame animal that you have kept tame.
You can do that with a wolf for the most part, but that doesn't mean that it's completely tame.
If that cat grows up on the wild, it's a wild animal.
Yeah, it's an animal. It's a wild animal. What, cats? Yeah, cats don't have the easily shift genes that our dogs do.
Yeah.
Our adorable dogs.
Alrighty. Well, we started on dogs and ended on dogs. So
Doggies. It's a poopy,
all
poopy,
right.
Poopy.
We are
so
out
poopy,
of time.
Poopy.
Mikey, what do you have to plug?
October 19th on the High Note in downtown Boise, Idaho, my band/storytelling project, Whiskey Ginger, will be performing. Myself, Jen Adams, and Thomas Paul will be giving you an opportunity to feel, laugh, sing, and cry with us. It's going to be a lot of time. That is my music storytelling project.
I'm excited.
And it's on October 19th. Yeah, that's it. That's all we're going to talk about right now.
Alrighty.
That's it.
That's it for this week. Remember, not all those who wander are lost.
I am, though.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.